This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It's your sports bros, Rop and Sook.
So, dude.
I'm Rop. Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Oh, dude.
Look at him. Coming up this hour, we've got some NBA items to get to. I don't know if you've seen what this Lakers rookie is doing.
Oh, yeah.
Bronny.
No.
Bronny and Dalton Connect combining for 37 points last night.
That's true. Very true.
9 threes, right? Did they hit?
Yeah, they did.
Combined.
Yeah, I pulled another one. I got over my email. There was a... I love the Bronny James news stories are my absolute favorite thing in the world. Just due to the headlines.
How's he doing in the G League?
He's terrible. Like,
how do you know?
He can't score. Like, he's averaging like 5 points in the G League. But the this was legitimately the headline from one of the, I think it was this was off of Yahoo Sports. Bronny James, the journey to the NBA begins with a stunning G League debut.
Stunning.
Would you care to guess? What he did, and that is the headline. Journey to the NBA begins with stunning G League.
He's played
debut.
Two games.
Let me guess. Did he go like 3 of 8, knock down a couple from deep?
He went 2 of 10.
Oh, it was close.
For 4 points. And no, he did not have a three.
Four assists.
He went over. Like,
probably dropped some dimes, though. Rop is right.
Like, well, why are they saying that, though? You're glossing over the important part.
No.
Nothing just, about it's stunning. That's the point.
It talks about his effort.
Ah,
the defense, the defensive acumen.
Yep.
All of that. Yes.
Yeah, he's averaging 5 points, shooting 21%.
Yes.
And 3 assists, despite but also 3 turnovers.
This is the victory over the Salt Lake City Stars. Despite only scoring 4 points, his performance demonstrated potential as a versatile player and provided an opportunity to gain professional experience.
I still remember one of the very first games of his USC career when they did the little like star head-to-head profile. And for the opponent guy, it was like 22 points a game, 7 assists. And for Bronny, it was like pedigree. High basketball IQ. They wouldn't even put his stats up against those guys.
You can't have stunning G League debut when you scored 4 points. You
can when you're LeBron James kid.
Apparently you can. Someone else was defending it. I think one of the NBA talking heads was defending it, saying that he's not a normal G League player because he only plays at home. They won't let him travel with the team,
which is also weird.
Yeah, and they're like, well, he's no normal G League player. No, he's much worse. He's like,
what do you think is going to happen to him if he goes on the road in the G League?
He's
seriously.
Like the fifth best player on the Lakers G League team. He probably shouldn't even be starting.
He needs the work.
Wait, he's starting?
Yeah, I think he's starting. But he's terrible.
Damn.
But hey, stunning debut.
We have some hot rideshare talk coming up in the club.
Okay.
By the way, I haven't seen Billy Donovan in a while. He's looking old. Look at that. That's Billy Donovan.
Oh, but you know what?
He looks old.
He's aging.
Well, he's handsome.
He's handsome.
He always has been, but he's very gray and wrinkly now.
I like, though, that he's not doing the weird middle-aged lesbian thing.
Yeah, he's lost some weight.
He's aging with some grace.
Looks like he's taking care of himself. You're right. Yeah. You're right. He hasn't done...
Silver Fox.
Yeah. He's done Botox.
Yeah, I appreciate when someone ages with a little grace.
Yet.
You know.
So we will get some hot rideshare talk in the club. But right now, the hot five at five.
12.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number 5.
Well, the red hot and rollin' Blazers are in Oklahoma City tonight for a very big game against the Thunder.
Blazers.
Thunder off a back-to-back. They got slayed by Chris Paul and the mighty Spurs last night.
News update, the Blazers already winning.
Oh, it just started? Wait. Oh, I guess we're late, aren't we?
Yeah, it's 5-0
right now. It's on
K2. 5-0 already?
5-0.
God.
Call it rolling.
Do you think they'll pitch a shutout tonight?
Probably. I don't think the Blazers are ever going to lose again.
I think you're right. Well, no Chet Holmgren
right now, beating the Oklahoma City Thunder by themselves.
No Chet Holmgren for the Thunder. They are number 2 in the West at 11-4. Blazers won 3 in a row.
Break them up.
3.
Break them up.
And the Bucks, who are 5-9, are trying to get a win tonight, hosting Chicago. Still early, but they're up 8.
Yeah.
So, that's all I got.
Number 4.
Deals text, Bronny's so bad they're using white adjectives.
That is true.
That's great.
You know what?
Those Deal, are, that's outstanding.
Yeah, he's a lot of headsy play right now.
Yeah.
Gritty.
Gym rat.
Smart play. Tough plays.
Eagles defensive end Bryce Huff will undergo wrist surgery. He's due back late in the season.
It doesn't matter. I mean, the Eagles have done such a good job building their roster, but that's a swing and a miss. He has done...
2.5 sacks.
Yeah, he's been terrible for him.
He had 10 last year. Yeah. Phillies won 6 straight, but they have back-to-back road games next up. They'll be in L.A. versus the Rams and then in Baltimore. Also, the Giants are getting former Duck Kayvon Thibodeau back this week. And another former Duck, Bo Nix, honored with AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Yeah. Dude, Bo Nix went from the beginning of the year looking completely lost to... There's a lot to like about the last couple weeks.
He looked good last week.
Yes, he did.
Now,
it was against a defense that has... no teeth to it whatsoever, but they've done a nice job of bringing him along. And he doesn't have to win games. Play within the confines of the system, elite defense. Sean Payton is really helping him out.
Following the Deion Sanders model, reports are the great Ray Lewis has emerged as a candidate for the head coaching position at Florida Atlantic. Now, Bruce Feldman has followed up this reporting with the fact that Lewis does want the job, but the school is not likely to hire him.
They tried this, I forget what school it was. Was it Cookman or whatever that tried hiring Ed Reed?
Your boy.
Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, he quit. Cookman.
Yeah, he said it was just so bad there.
He's like, this is bullshit. I'm out of here.
It may make sense. If you're one of those schools, you're not getting a big-time coach. Why not take a chance on... say what you will about Ray Lewis. Maybe he killed a guy. Well, he did kill a guy. Was it justified? One of the great emotional leaders of all time. I could see that, you know, if you're trying to build a culture... you can do a lot worse. Ray Lewis is a phenomenal public speaker.
Well, since they had Lane Kiffin as coach, Florida Atlantic, the Owls have hired and fired Willie Taggart and Tom Herman.
Well, again, it's almost impossible for schools like that, because if you hire anyone that's worth a damn, he's gone in 2 years, and then you're constantly trying to scramble for someone to make you relevant. It just doesn't work.
2024 Cy Young Award winners announced today. Chris Sale of the Braves in the NL. That dude went 18-3 with a 2.38 ERA.
I thought he was washed a couple years ago.
I know.
Like, I thought he was like done.
Yeah. crazy. And then Zach Wheeler and Paul Skeens were the next two vote getters. And then in the AL, it was unanimous. It was a landslide for Tigers ace Tarik Skubal, who won the pitching triple crown, which is leading the league in wins, strikeouts, and ERA.
And it was phenomenal in the postseason too, and really kind of just was the breakout guy. Now what, MVPs are next, or this is the last one to be handed out tomorrow?
Otani.
It'll be Otani and Judge, but I think those are the last two big awards to be handed out, if I'm not mistaken.
Come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it.
Yeah, Thursday we get the MVPs.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
Might be the biggest no-brainer in the history of MVPs.
Number one.
And big news out of Ohio State today. Well, it was actually yesterday. But their center, Seth McLaughlin, blew out his Achilles in Tuesday's practice, and he is done for the season. He is the second starting offensive lineman that Ohio State has lost for the year, the first being left tackle Josh Simmons, who was hurt in the Oregon game.
Yeah, so basically their two best O-linemen. And already it's difficult because they had to move guys around after the first injury, including moving the center out. So you're going to have to not only replace a second guy, but now you're having to reshuffle the whole line. And if you remember in that Oregon game, when Simmons went down, it didn't look right for the next couple weeks. So this is something to keep an eye on, obviously with Indiana, but obviously looking ahead to maybe an Oregon, Ohio State, Big Ten championship, rematch. This is a big deal for Ohio State.
Seth McLaughlin was a fifth-year senior transfer from Alabama. The Hot 5 at 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. Are there parallels between the Blazers and Cowboys?
I can't say I've ever thought about that.
Not well, I'm going to tell you.
All right.
Next on The Fan.
Hee hee, Magic Johnson.
What?
Don't mess with my board, man.
It's always someone else's fault.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, yeah. What am I supposed to do? Take the blame?
It's a valid point.
Well, guys, we've made it. We've made it to Wednesday at 5:21. Mm-hmm. I have the odds on the next quarterback benched coming up.
Oh, okay.
Which is actually kind of interesting at this point in the season because all the crappy quarterbacks have already been benched.
Sure.
You know?
Well, and like
now we have some really bad backups.
Well, like some have been benched with like the Daniel Jones thing is just for injury guarantee.
Yeah.
Like if he gets hurt, it's like $23 million. So.
Well, and Drew Lock is pissed.
Yeah.
But his is contract.
Yeah. The Giants are solely going with Tommy Cutlets right now. One, because they think it'll drive interest amongst fans. And two, they don't want to pay anyone.
And we got some NBA stuff piling up, which we're going to get to. I've been, you can't swing a bag of dead cats around here without hearing somebody talk about the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Because they're such a mess. But
you have got to be smoking something over there.
I was listening to, who was it? Greenberg and all those douchebags? I can't remember.
Okay. The Get Up Crew or whatever?
Look, I try not to consume too much ESPN sports content. I think it's bad for my brain.
It's probably for the best.
But also, particularly when they start talking about the Cowboys or Aaron Rodgers, which they do all the time.
Yeah. I think some of the Joe Douglas and Woody Johnson stuff that's come out, The Athletic had a really good piece on it, and more stuff is leaking out. That is pretty interesting in that.
Well, Woody's just, he's a moron.
Yeah, but I mean,
right?
I don't know if I've ever seen anything quite to this level.
Like that level of meddling?
Well, so, I mean, it goes back to Woody Johnson, he left for a while because he was an ambassador, and so his brother was running the team, and then he came back and took over and was unhappy about the way it was being run, and he just started, to the point where he tried to bench Aaron Rodgers after that Broncos game, and Robert Saleh was like, no, we're not benching Aaron Rodgers.
That's week four, by the way.
For who? Who's the next guy?
Whoever. Does it matter?
Who's the Jets backup?
No one that's Aaron Rodgers.
No. Woody Johnson literally tried.
It's Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor. And Robert Saleh was like, well, no, we're not benching Aaron Rodgers. And so Woody Johnson fired his head coach and didn't tell his GM. He just said, no, we're firing the coach. Didn't tell anyone simply because of things like that. Woody Johnson stepped in and blocked trades. Like, go through and I mean, it is the amount of meddling seemingly for no reason. Woody Johnson gave an edict that they weren't allowed to give any new money to any players that were on the current roster. Like, they wanted to re-sign Bryce Huff and they had the deal. Joe Douglas was getting ready to send it over and Woody Johnson was like, no new money for players on the under contract. And he's like, what? It's like, what are you talking about? And he's just like, we're not giving anyone new contracts. Stuff like that. I've never seen meddling quite to that level under any circumstance where you just had an owner that seemingly just, he listens to a lot of like sports talk radio and like newspapers, and he makes his judgments based on that. And
smart man.
I mean, he just neuters his GM. He neuters his head coach because he just randomly decides that he wants it done a specific way.
I saw someone say that he tries to appease the back page in New York as if it still matters.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because, okay, first of all, he's only worth $3.4 billion.
Yeah.
So he's kind of poor.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
But, you know, the New York teams, it's interesting. This does tie into something I was going to bring up about the Cowboys. And I'm going to be able to rope in the local team here. But the Jets, well, any of the New York teams, really, I do think that their passionate fan bases hold them more accountable in that market.
Sure.
And I think that is a good thing. Now, if you were to say that pressure on a franchise from fans or local businesses or community leaders or whomever leads to decisions like Woody Johnson's, that's not necessarily a good thing. And then you look at like the Knicks and say, well, all the pressure on them, all they do is throw money against the wall and it never sticks and they suck, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're good now, but you know what I mean? It took for years.
Yeah. Dolan's been a pit.
It can work both ways. But the last thing you want is you want your fan base in your community too cooperative. And that's what they were talking about with the Cowboys. And I thought that that is an interesting parallel to the Blazers. And something we've been talking about here for years. And that is the fans in Dallas, because the Cowboys are the mighty Cowboys and Jerry's this big personality. Yeah. They do not push back on him at all, ever. And that's part of the reason they are where they are, is that that guy just does whatever the hell he wants. And the Blazers are kind of like that, too. The fans, the fan base, as great as they are, and Cowboys have one of the bigger fan bases in the world. So it's a little different dynamic here. We're talking about just a local team here, whereas the Cowboys, it's all over the place. Yeah. But generally speaking, the Dallas Cowboys are such a huge brand that no one really calls them on their crap like they do in New York. And that's true of Portland, too, with the Blazers. And it's not a good thing because you have to keep – no one pushes the Blazers. They never have. There's just – I mean, you got the Thorns and the Timbers who are doing a really good job, but that doesn't – it's not – no, it's not like having a major league team and all this other competition like they have in New York. And all that stuff breeds competition and accountability and changes and, you know, it's not always manifested in the perfect way, obviously. Because these things are hard. It's hard to win championships. But it is an interesting dynamic that in New York, I mean, you got a lot of messes, franchises there. But they are all over them to get better.
Yeah, it was one of the reasons why Paul Allen never wanted a second team in Portland. He didn't want an NHL 100%. Team or whatever.
He knew how good he had it.
And he didn't like when the Timbers moved in. He didn't want anyone competing for eyeballs and dollars and sponsors.
So when you are too cooperative or too agreeable, and you just sort of trust the local franchise, or in Dallas's case, the big national brand franchise, you get walked on. And that's what's happening in Dallas, and that's what's happened here for years.
Yeah, I can see that.
So that's the parallel I was drawing there.
I've never really thought about that, but it's true. It's almost like you're too big to fail, right? You just have an entity that no one really wants to
push. Well, people love them.
Yeah.
People love, like, the Cowboys, they love the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They just love him. The star, the history.
Yeah. Well, and the Blazers.
With the
exception of the last handful of years, this really has been an organization that has excellence attached to it. I know they haven't won a title, obviously, in a long time, but and we like to harp on that, but people forget my entire life, basically, from the obviously the late 70s through, you know, most of my adult life, this was always a team that was good. What was their playoff streak? 20 plus years?
Yeah, I don't know about excellence, but they were definitely a winning franchise.
They were a winning franchise.
And Paul Allen cared.
Yes.
Consistent winners, which is a lot.
Yes. But when things go south, like, I mean, they had one of the worst runs in sports that I can remember, and that is the Jailblazers era. Yeah. It was really bad here.
It was rough.
But
they bounced back.
Well, they did, but I just mean, like, you know, people were not really, like, you really got to push here to get people to call for heads and bring out the pitchforks.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That is a bad thing.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because you don't want, like, Philadelphia, but you probably don't want...
Well, I think you get change faster in Philadelphia. This is what I'm saying.
But you also get a lot of knee-jerk, dumb crap stuff like Woody Johnson in New York.
The downside is, look, if you have an idiot running it, you know, you can bring out the pitchforks all you want. He's going to be an idiot.
Yeah.
His next decision is going to be dumb, like James Dolan.
Yeah.
Or Woody Johnson. But when you have Paul Allen, who's clearly a bright guy, clearly a guy who cared and wanted to win and was learning on the job, right? Remember the whole, I'm not a chemistry major, and that whole thing.
Yeah.
He learned from that. Every hire that he had was a little bit different in that, okay, you know, very analytical guy. That's what you want. I mean, you had an owner that, I mean, well, I guess now you kind of get what it's like when he's gone, right?
Yeah.
But... For all his faults,
when he left, or I mean, when he passed away, everyone said, "Dude, you're gonna feel this."
Just imagine if that guy had a little, if he had the fire under his feet turned up a little bit more over the years, would the Blazers have finally made, you know, whether it's a GM hire or whatever, one or two more moves, trades, whatever it is that got him somewhere that, you know, you didn't think they could get.
Yeah, kind of the paralyzed fear. Like, the last one they went for was the Jermaine O'Neal one, right? And it didn't, you know, Davis didn't get you over the hump, and then O'Neal went on, and that was always what you heard is that paralyzed him, and then he never wanted to give up on young players because of that. And you're right, maybe with a little more heat. I hadn't thought about that before, but it's an interesting take.
Well, complacent fans.
Yeah.
It's just one of the worst things. If you want to win for your franchise, it's one of the worst. The franchises love it because they're like, oh, they love us no matter what. And we can do whatever we want. We can say, you know, we can say whatever we want. You're going to believe it.
Yeah.
We're going to put out Homer broadcasters to make you think everything's great and rosy. And then you're going to eat up all of the stuff that we give you. Yeah. That's what they want. And that's what the Cowboys have.
Yeah.
That's what Jerry does.
Sure.
He is huge there. He's got, I mean, Cowboys, it's Cowboy fever.
Yeah.
It almost doesn't even matter that they're not winning because people love Cowboy fever.
And that's what some people say is that Jerry ultimately doesn't care about winning.
He why would he when the fans the don't
he's,
hold his
he's
feet to
filling
the
stadium and being a Cowboys fan is just a cool thing to do and there, so it just keeps happening.
And the fans love it. What if the fans really went at him like they do in New York?
Well, and I wonder, like in Portland here, obviously the TV drop, right? 60% last year. Attendance is not very good. It's not horrible. For as bad as they've been, they actually still draw pretty well. I'll be interested to see if this season goes into the toilet as most people think. What happens is as that goes on. I do know that tickets are easy to come by, and a lot of people, as someone said here, outside of big games and big names, it's hard to even give away tickets right now. Valid point. I got a buddy of mine that has season tickets, and he's selling his second row behind the Blazer bench. Dude, he sells those things for like $100 a pop now. And a lot of nights he can't get it. I mean, like $100 basically to sit courtside. And people are like, nah, I'm good, man. I'm not interested in that. Problem with Portland is even if people stop going and people stop watching, does it really matter because you have an owner that knows that she won't be here long term? The only thing actually motivating her is waiting for expansion, waiting for the new TV deal, and then eventually selling and getting $4 billion. There really is no incentive for Jody to actually win.
Well, and I think that's another thing they were talking about with Dallas, interestingly enough, is that, you know, if you even did... if there was a public movement where people are really pissed and community leaders are coming together saying, hey, step down as GM, in this instance, Jerry Jones, step down as GM, or in the Blazers case, Jody, sell the team. Yeah. What if you had a local petition of big swingers here who came together and put out something that said, sell the team? We want you to sell the team.
Yeah.
The reality is, it probably wouldn't do much of anything.
Probably not.
But it does at least let your position be known. When you get fed up and you rattle cages, change comes faster. Now, it's, like I said, there's a double-edged sword. It's like tanking. It's not always pretty, and it may not be the best change, but you want change. The worst thing you can be is complacent and sort of, in like this malaise where you can't even, nobody cares.
No.
That's the worst part. Yeah. You want the passion. And I wish that, I've always said that this city, as great as its fans are, they gotta hold the team accountable more. And they don't. And you're seeing what happens when that occurs.
Oh, what you're seeing right now is them beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. 23-21 after one. What the hell are you talking about? I see a four-game win streak about
juggernaut.
To go down. Yeah, break them up. Jeremy Grant, 9 points.
Hee-hee, Magic Johnson.
You're a loser.
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
Someone said local petition, F off Burt Cold too. It's going to be hard to get anything done until that thing, until someone convinces her to sell. I don't know where you go until that. It's like everything else is on hold until that happens.
Could pressure work?
I don't know.
I mean, she needs to at least hear if people are really fed up. Maybe they're not. Maybe they don't. That's the thing.
Maybe people don't care.
People here don't care. They're just happy to have a team.
Yeah. Maybe that's
and they'll go
is.
When they're good, and
maybe
when they trade Damian Lillard and they're not good, it's like, I'll be back in 5 years.
Yeah.
Don't really care.
Yeah.
That's a bad, to me, that's not good.
They assume it's cyclical and it'll come back around, and when it does, they will too.
I just think it's such a weird thing because I don't know what Jody Allen thinks. I mean, obviously they say great things about her, but I mean, God, is anyone going to be like, oh, our boss is terrible. You know how to play the game. Shut up, keep your head down, praise the boss. If you know within, because they say roughly like 5 to 7 years, right? And the NBA is going to be like, okay, enough. You're going to have to sell. But let's say it's even 6 or 7 years, right? We'll put it on the long end of that. I just don't know. What does it matter to her? This team is going to sell for $4 billion. And so with the exception of that, what does Jody care if they go? And win? I don't know. Is there a thing where she wants to win because of her brother and she feels it's going to be good for his legacy? I just don't know. I really don't know what she honestly thinks, or if she just sits back and says, whatever. In a couple of years, this is going to get sold. And
it seems like she doesn't really respond to much of anything, including Phil Knight calling her. So
yeah.
I don't know that you can get through to
her. I wonder if someone called up. Because she knew the value was going to go up. If someone called up and said, I will give you $4 billion right now, does that get it done?
Well, she won't even return his calls, no. You freaking bitch. Yeah. What is up with that?
Well, if Phil Knight, I'm a little surprised that Phil Knight hasn't upped his offer, right? Didn't they say it was $2 million?
$2 billion. It was not $2
million. Yeah, no. That would be a little low.
$2 billion.
$2 billion's too low. Okay, I get that. Is he really serious? Why has he not come back to the...
Well, supposedly there were some bitter feelings there, and she's like, I'm not going to sell to him, so maybe he knows it's not worth the time and effort, but...
Well, I don't know that she said she wasn't going to sell to him. She just said, $2 billion, get out of here with that.
I thought
too low.
I thought that there was talk is that she is not a fan and that it's not going to go to him, and certainly it's not going to go to him now, hence not even taking his call.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Why would you not be a fan of Phil
Knight?
I
thought I remember. I'll go back and see if I can find...
I thought it was just the price.
I think the price was, because she knows that when the expansion fees come in and the new TV deal kicks in and all that...
But that's different than saying, I can't stand Phil Knight.
I think it was a two-prong. One, she's not going to sell until the value goes up, and I do, and I'll have to double-check, but I thought I remember something about there being some bad blood between Paul and Phil, God. And she was not going to
What a bitch.
Do that.
She is an aloof bitch.
I don't know. I guess the last question is, do you think that there is something in fan bases, if you look at all the greatest winning franchises, consistently winning franchises, is there something in their communities or their fan bases that will not allow it to dip as much as others?
Yes, I think there's something to that.
And what is that? That's what I'm getting at. What is that? And where is it in Portland?
Yeah, it's just there's an edge. And
there's something.
And we don't have it.
Certainly don't.
You're right. There's some sort of edge. There's some sort of internal and external pressure that gets applied. And we don't.
You know who's a great...
It's a sense of urgency, and we do not have it.
You know who's... one comes to mind, and I don't have any idea why this pops into my head, but... And it doesn't mean you don't go through years where you are struggling or turning the franchise around or not relevant, but the St. Louis Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much you know about their fans, but they're tremendous, and they are passionate. And I tell you what, man, even when the Cardinals... If they just dip below 500,
yeah, it's
it's on.
They're getting antsy. They're getting pissed.
Yep, they're getting, and they hear about it out there. So,
and maybe that's all it is.
Whatever that is,
it's setting expectations, and we don't have them here.
All right, we got to run. there is a new Robert Horry in the NBA, and we'll get to that next. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I tease this by saying the NBA has a new Robert Horry. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not exactly accurate. Okay.
Did you lie?
I was lying.
Unbelievable.
I lied to you guys. I wouldn't say Robert Horry.
You should come.
There's only one Big Shot Bob.
Big Shot Bob.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to have Big Shot Bob when, like, you're, like, what, 12 games into the season?
Shut up.
Yeah. It just, the parallel there is, it just doesn't work.
No.
So who should I have teased? I don't know, but I'm talking about Peyton Pritchard.
Ah. Okay. That does seem a bit,
yeah, it's not the right guy.
No, it seems a bit
of
a stretch.
No player has ever embraced the end of quarter or half heave shot.
No.
Until now.
Yes.
And Peyton Pritchard, if you haven't watched, in Boston,
has.
And they said that it was Kristaps Porzingis' idea. And he told Peyton Pritchard, he said, let it fly. And even if you make 1 out of 10, it helps the team.
The best is when you type in Peyton Pritchard, the AI, you know, it pops up. It says, Peyton Pritchard is known for his ability to score at the end of quarters and is considered one of the NBA's best end of quarter shooters.
Yeah.
That's what he's known for.
Yeah. Well, he's really the only one that's embraced it, which I think is awesome.
Curry used to do it, but everyone got savvy to it. And I feel like a lot of the guys who are like pull-up logo guys, they don't get that anymore. But yeah. Pritchard comes in, and he has license to launch. The other thing is forever, guys didn't like the way it affected their shooting stats. They'd get a field goal miss out of it. And I think they've changed that now.
Yeah, so Pritchard, if you haven't seen the Celtics play, and I don't blame you. I mean, they're actually pretty fun to watch, as NBA teams go.
Yeah, they finally knocked off the Cavaliers.
But they put him in if he's not in the game. By the way, he's having a career year. He's not. This is not just his thing. He's
I think he's the leader to win sixth man of the year right now.
Yeah, he's having a really nice year. He's averaging 15 points a game. Good shooter. And of course, Boston has a bunch of shooters, so that helps him. But they put him in. If he's not in the game, they put him in at the end of a quarter or half. And they tell him, they give him the ball in the inbounds or whatever, and he is to shoot, you know, I call it the heave shot.
Yeah.
But he's hit 8 threes in the last 5 seconds of quarters, and the average distance of those threes is 12 feet behind the three-point line.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, it's a three-quarter sort of sucker. I mean, he gets it up there.
And you think of all the studs on that team that can shoot.
Yeah.
In the final seconds, he's the guy.
Imagine that's like being the long-distance field goal kicker. Like, hey, man, we need it from 62. We're calling you in.
It's pretty cool
what
he's doing. And he says if he can see the rim and he can get the shot off clean, he can probably make it. That's what he said.
Well, you are seeing more and more guys now that, I mean, they are practicing this, and that's the Steph Curry / Damian Lillard. They changed the way the game is played. I mean, you remember Steph used to have that warm-up routine where everyone would laugh about it, but that has become a normal thing. If you go to NBA games, dudes are warming up from back there all the time.
Well,
now.
isn't the big thing now, because you've been to NBA games, like maybe you've taken friends or friends' kids and you go early for autographs and you get let in and you go all the way down to the court while they're shooting around, you know?
Yeah.
Well, now, and I don't think it's every team, but a lot of teams, including the Warriors, they pack the place for those.
Yes.
It's like the best part of the game because those guys are down there doing trick shots and shooting.
Steph's
shooting shots from the tunnel.
Yeah, it used to be where you would go down and you'd watch guys dunk, and not anymore. It's you're watching a game of horse. Yeah, Steph goes and shoots. Yeah, you're right. He shoots from the tunnel and stuff.
I prefer the old layup line.
Yeah, that seems to be a bygone.
Do they do that anymore?
Yeah, they still do the layup
line. The old layup line where they come out and two lines, guys. Yeah. Two lines, guys.
It's part of every youth basketball game that ever played. That old two-handed run and set shot.
So who should I tease next time? Peyton Pritchard is the new blank.
Steph Curry.
I don't think he's the new Steph Curry, though.
Well, no, with that.
Well, he's not Robert Ory.
As far
either.
As pioneering the end of quarter shot.
About this? He's the first Peyton Pritchard. How about that?
Look at that.
Peyton Pritchard is the new Peyton Pritchard.
You mentioned it, though. Career year. He's averaging 15. Good for him. That was a guy that everyone doubted from, like, everyone always does the no one believed in me. I'll give Peyton Pritchard that.
100%.
People crapped on that kid nonstop. And he stuck around at Oregon and, you suck at Oregon. And then he got good and people were like, well, never play in the NBA. And then he was in the NBA. Oh, you'll never be anything but a bit player. The guy just.
The fact that he had to stay all 4 years says everything you need to know about his NBA stock. And he has made it work. A lot of credit to him. Yeah.
You sound like Dan Lanning right now.
Do I?
Yeah. Don't you think he sounds a little
talk with your helmet. No, it didn't work.
Like you've been yelling all day at practice.
Got a Peter Brader thing happening for him.
Peter Brader.
It's time to change.
Talk with your helmet!
All right.
I do knew that.
We've got one more NBA nugget to pass along to you, and that will be next on The Fan. Well, we got a club. All right?
Yeah, I'm ready. Except you're going to try to squeeze something else in right here.
All right.
So we're not going to club.
Well, it's going to be very fast, but I have to tell you, because I know you love your NBA, you're a big NBA guy.
I can't get enough of it.
Have you seen what this Lakers rookie Dalton Knecht is doing?
I did. I did see it yesterday. He had the Jordan shrug.
Do you remember him at Tennessee?
Briefly. I don't know about you, but I did not watch a lot of Tennessee basketball. But going into the NCAA tournament last year, a lot of people were talking about Knecht. But he was white and old, and that does not work in the NBA draft.
Bingo.
He fell
I think
to, what, 17?
That's why. Yeah, he was 17th overall out of Tennessee. And I think his college team was really good.
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of people that are looking at this guy going, wait, who is this guy? Like some other another white guy with the Lakers that comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. Except he didn't come out of nowhere. I mean, people said...
But I think for a lot of people, he did.
I remember when the Blazers were looking at him.
He was a name that came up for sure for them.
Yeah, he came up and they ended up getting Denny. They traded away that second pick. But there was some even talk at the top of the draft that Knecht could be... You heard about him. I remember the draft process saying that his ceiling may not be as high as some others, but his floor is higher than anyone else's. He is going to come in and he is going to score right away.
Because he was old, right?
Yeah, he's an older guy. I think he's 23. Stayed all the years at Tennessee, and he transferred from somewhere. And the guy can just shoot. Like someone asked LeBron about his coaching staff being able to find him, and he goes, "Did we find him, or did 16 other teams just be dumb?" And there's.
Sick burn.
I mean, there's an element of that, though. Again, he was a guy that kept falling into the draft, and people do not in the NBA. I guess they do this in a lot of sports, but I don't think there's any sport that picks based on projection as opposed to production. Zach Edey was this way, too.
And he went to Northern Colorado.
Northern Colorado.
By the way.
Zach Edey, by the way, is having a nice year in Memphis, and people were like, there's no way. Like, he's not going to get any better. He's not athletic enough, and... You know, it really doesn't matter what you do in college. I mean, usually the top five picks are dudes that have never done jack squat, but they're raw and athletic, whereas Knecht was a finished product.
Well, he hit 9 threes.
At 37.
37 points.
Last night.
Crazy. And then he's averaging 11.
And he did the Jordan shrug. He did the,
And he started four games. So between him and Austin Reeves, the Lakers are turning into the NBA's Duke.
Well, don't they have two? Isn't Cam Reddish a Duke guy?
That's right.
Yeah, but he's not white.
No, he's not. But he's on the Lakers.
Yeah.
So,
I think they should get two more white guys, and then have LeBron and four white guys.
Well, they got Anthony Davis, and I think they really need Anthony
get rid of him. Put him on the bench.
Put him on the bench.
LeBron, four whites.
Can JJ Redick do the player coach thing?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, get him out there.
Redick, Reeves.
And then, you know, they can go with the all-white unis. They've got them.
Like, Redick could probably run point, right?
What about, what if we give him Klingon for Davis? Anthony Davis for Donovan Klingon. Who says no?
I'm going to go ahead and say the Lakers. Although, if you listen to Blazer fan, Donovan Klingon's the greatest center in the history of the NBA.
Klingon. He's a big-ass dude, man.
He is enormous. When we were down, I'm trying to think what the game, went to that Memphis game. And I went down there and I stood next to him or walked by him.
Do you high five him?
I did not.
Did you have to jump?
He is enormous. Like, even amongst NBA players, he stands out as just, he's just a giant, thick man.
Averaging 6 and 6, baby.
Yeah, that's right.
What you want.
He had the one game, people were like, see, he can play 30 minutes. He about died afterwards. He's wheezing.
Yeah, he played 31 against Minnesota. Yeah,
that's about, he needs to get in NBA shape.
17, 12, and 8.
And he is not there yet, but he shows you glimpses.
All right, like I said, you need to stop talking because we have to club.
Well, I'm so excited about this Blazer Oklahoma City game that I can't watch on TV.
He got, Magic
does. It is on TV.
Wait,
is it?
I'm watching it right now.
What channel?
K2.
Oh, yeah?
Do I have that here on our little?
I think so.
I've been watching the Bucks.
Yeah, we got the Bucks on here.
The stupid Bucks. Who cares about them?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Someone does. Lillard took a shot at Blazer fans the other day.
What did he say?
He said fake-ass MFers.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Some Blazer fan account took a shot at him. And so he responded.
There ain't gonna be no buddy-buddy
stuff. He responded back.
Whatever. Okay, so I've got some rideshare talk, and there was something else I had to... Oh, I've got tarantula news. Mm. Do you guys like spiders at all?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Not a big fan.
Well, we'll get to that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.